Undisputed.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world.
How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. Until the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Right?
With your host...
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people. And good things happen to good people. Good people like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer/co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
This song is fitting because it's been raining all day.
Yeah, it's been raining and storming.
It's like, oh... Yeah, and it's like, I need music. So it's like, let's go with Umbrella, because it's a good song.
It is a good song.
By the way, you can interact with us live at wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com, join our interactive chat room. You can tweet us at wildtalkradio, at rackradioshow, at Lynn's Ward. And if it's relevant to what we're talking about, we'll mention it on the air. Tonight, football season officially begins.
Yes, with the Steelers and the Patriots, and you'll hear interjections of that game as we go. But we have a big, big show for everyone. We have news, we have Raw and SmackDown we have to talk about, we have NXT, and we have the amazing Scott Lost with us. He's going to be talking all about his comic book that's upcoming, The Second Shift. It's an awesome interview. You guys definitely don't want to miss it. But before we get into all that, I have an announcement.
You have an announcement.
I have an announcement.
Okay, what's your announcement?
Because tomorrow is somebody's birthday. And well, somebody's doing an appreciation day for them. And we can't forget it.
Wait. Are we doing Mace Appreciation Day?
We're doing Mace Appreciation Day.
All right. I don't know. Is Tim hosting it? I think Tim's hosting it. Okay.
So expect popcorn chicken. And a cocktail glass full of ketchup.
Exactly.
Because we love you. No, Mafia Boss Heyman on Twitter is throwing a Sandow appreciate, or not Sandow, good lord. Take a shot, screw up the plug. Let me try that again. Mafia Boss Paul Heyman is throwing a Paul Heyman appreciation day because it is Paul Heyman's birthday tomorrow. So tweet, Tumblr, Facebook, all your love to Paul Heyman. Light him up, make him feel loved. Terrify him with the amount of love that he's getting because he will be so confused.
My response is...
What, you're not going to do the glory, glory Brock Lesnar?
Oh, I can do... I don't... Do I have that? I wonder if I have that.
Oh, you have to have that.
I have it somewhere. I have to find it.
But yes.
I know I've pulled it. I don't know where I saved it to.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you've pulled it because you've played it before.
It's in an intro, but so it's somewhere. I don't have the actual copy of it. Anyway.
So he'll have to find that. But yes, tomorrow is Paul Heyman Appreciation Day. So tweet it, tumble it, Facebook it, social media it in general. Let's make him feel loved on his birthday. But now let's do news. Brought to you by our friends over at pwmania.com and tnasylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And while we have to talk about the big story coming out this week, which thankfully there weren't a lot, and that is that Japanese wrestling superstar, one of the baddest women in pro wrestling, if not the baddest, Kana, has signed with WWE.
Yeah, she was at NXT TakeOver, and people were like, who's Kana? Who's Kana? Well, she's the newest signing for WWE. She'll be making her debut here in a few weeks on NXT television. They gave her a new name. Tonight they were taping the show, so her official name is Asuka. I think that's how you pronounce it.
I'm sure they'll help us out.
They'll help us out at some point.
I'm so sorry if we said it wrong.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, there's the name. It's your typical WWE-ish Japanese name. That's the best way to put it.
It is, but at least it's not stereotypical.
No, it's not. That's a good thing.
And I'm pretty sure she got to pick it. So, but yeah, that's pretty exciting. There were pictures circulating of her and Triple H together today on Twitter where he announced the signing, which is pretty awesome. And yeah, I'm looking forward to see what she can do. She, if you're not familiar with her, she's a very stiff worker. She's known for her kicks. She's basically, I would almost compare her as the female Hideo Itami.
That's a good comparison, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much where she's at in terms of ability and skill and everything. So I'm super excited to see her. And of course, Sasha Banks, being Sasha Banks, posted out that, oh good, more edges to snatch when the signing got announced. It's like, oh, Sasha, I love you so much. You're gonna die, but I love you.
Yeah, and we gotta stick with that because, again, spoiler alert, by the way, people, because this is going to be announced in a couple weeks on NXT television. And since it is that, let's go old school. Let's throw back for...
Spoiler alert!
Pull out that sounder.
Hey!
Hey, going old school. Coming up at NXT TakeOver on October 7th, the main event, the 30-minute Iron Man match, or Iron Woman match, rather, for the NXT Women's Championship, Bayley, Sasha Banks, 2.
Can we just talk about how sick this is for a second?
That's the whole idea. Yeah, this is amazing.
It's the main event. Yeah. The main event, not the title match, not the co-main. No. This is the main event. Basically, WWE realizes that Bayley and Sasha stole TakeOver in Brooklyn, and they're giving them what to do, which is, we're just going to let you go out there and do the main event because that's really where you should be. That's amazing. And they're getting a stip match on top of it.
Right.
They're getting a 30-minute Iron Woman, because I don't want to call it man, but Iron Woman match. That's insane.
Yeah.
Like 30 minutes off the show. Bam. Theirs. And actually, realistically, it's probably going to be like 35, 40 with entrances.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With, and this is bam, right off the top.
Mm-hmm. Entrance celebration. First... Yeah, that's the last, that's, you know, basically the second hour of the show.
Which is awesome. They should be super proud of that.
We've heard rumblings for a while that they were headed in that direction of doing a women's match in the main event, but when you went, okay, if that's the idea, but then you yank Sasha Banks and Charlotte and Becky Lynch up to the main event, you went,
or
main roster rather. It's like, Emmett Bayley for 30 minutes wouldn't be bad. We're in a main event. Can't see them doing Eva Marie in that main event, because that wouldn't go over.
No,
so it's like,
no.
Sasha and Bayley one more time? Shut up and take my money.
Right?
It's like, okay, I'm sold. I'm geared up for TakeOver now. Perfect.
I'm ready to go.
It's going to be an excellent match. I don't expect a lot of pinfalls. I'm going to expect it to go 3 pinfalls, one each. One, and then the final one. This is how I would book it anyhow. But it's like, hell, I would just go 30 minutes and just let them go and make one pinfall. But anyway, besides the point, this is going to be awesome. They tore the house down in Brooklyn. They're going back to Full Sail. They're going to tear the house down there. Yeah, I'm ready. Sign it up. Let's go. Bring it. October 7th. Can't get here any faster.
It only makes me wish I could see it live.
Yeah, but hey, one day I could be on the main roster this match in this type of position. That's the goal. That's the hope.
That's the goal. That's the hope. But yeah, this is amazing. I am beyond excited for it. This made my day. I had an awful day today. And when I saw this just made my day because it was like, this is sick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I've said it before and I will say it again. If this is Triple H's vision of WWE, Vince, it's been real, but let Hunter do the thing.
Let Hunter do the thing. Yeah.
just give Hunter the thing. Let Hunter do the thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because I am in for this. I'm all in for women's empowerment and the Divas Revolution and to see the women brought back to where they were when I first started watching wrestling, which was, you know, 15 years ago at this point, which is scary to say that. But to see the girls where they were when Lita and Trish and Ivory and Jacqueline and all of them were there and they were all strong and they were all independent. They all could kick ass. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like to see the women's division come back to that warms my little fangirl heart so much.
Yeah, it's pretty special.
It's awesome. So congratulations to Sasha and Bayley. I can't wait to see it.
I'm geared up. I'm ready. I'm excited. Let's go. Bring it.
Get Sasha the security entourage.
Still amazing epic entrance.
Oh, that was fantastic.
It was honestly the best entrance of the weekend.
Her and Finn's, because Finn's was pretty epic.
Finn's was pretty epic? Yeah. Still, Sasha.
She just needs to roll up like that all the time.
She's the boss.
She's the boss, man. You don't mess with Sasha.
No, you really don't.
So, unfortunately, speaking of women and the divas and everything like that, one diva is sidelined, and it's so tragic. Lana. No, not Lana. Apparently, Lana, honey, you need to learn how to, you know, not smack someone so hard. No, I'm just kidding. Lana actually got injured. She hurt her wrist while she was training, of all things. So okay. She has I forget what the fracture is called. It's a particular, it actually has a name, but she has a fracture in her wrist in which she had to undergo surgery for today. And from what, by all accounts I've heard, the surgery was successful. She is currently recovering at home right now, and she should be out about 4 months?
The idea is it's going to be 4 months with the injury. Yeah, I don't know the exact name of the injury, but she had successful surgery. When don't you hear as the surgery was successful, by the way? Just playing that one out.
Well, it's good that you hear that they're always successful.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, she fractured it. She posted photos and video from the hospital on her Twitter account. So, hopefully she gets better soon. Kind of puts a damper on the storyline that's been going on Raw and SmackDown.
Well, I mean, realistically, she could still participate in it. It's just they would have to pull that way back on her, and they'd have to make sure she doesn't jostle her wrist too much. But, I mean, realistically, she could still be a part of it. Excuse me. Be a part of it.
At some point, yeah, probably after the first couple months since she just had surgery, so she'll be out for a while. At the very least, at least a couple months off of TV, I would assume, just to let it heal, because you don't want to keep traveling and all that fun stuff with injuries and surgeries like that. But if you think about this storyline, right, it's been doomed from the beginning. Because if you remember at the very beginning, when they broke apart, Rusev got hurt. He screwed up his ankle, and now she screwed up her wrist.
It's cursed.
It is cursed.
It's jinxed.
Summer Rae, be careful.
Right?
You're gonna be next. Because they gave Ziggler the fake injury. Summer Rae, well, no, actually, no. Summer had a black eye, didn't she?
Yeah, Summer did have a black eye.
Alright, they've all been touched by this one then, so there you go.
Yeah, so get well soon, Lana. Hope you feel better. Plus, they also took Lana out for a little while, or they took Ziggler out.
Right.
To do the movie.
Yeah. That was his fake injury.
So it's like, yeah, this is just a storyline. It's just like, yeah, it's DOA at this point. Just kill it. Please just kill it and find them something all better because it's awful.
Like, I was so looking forward to seeing her get in the ring and have the match with Summer Rae.
Oh, I wanted her and Summer to tear it up.
But we'll have to wait for that at the very least.
We will. We will. 4 months. Just in time for Mania.
She'll be back. Yeah, she'll be back for a Mania run. Yeah.
Go, Lana, go.
Anyway.
So, speaking of injuries, speaking of people being out, speaking of people maybe not coming back, we're going to switch over to TNA, brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, because we have one TNA story, actually two, but we're going to talk about this one first, because this is the better of the two, which says a lot for it. It was announced this week that Kurt Angle will not be renewing his deal with TNA, that he has decided to take a break from professional wrestling for a little while and then heal up and then try to make a potential comeback.
Yeah, his contract runs out at the end of 2015. He is scheduled for Bound for Glory. At least that's his goal, to be a part of the show in some fashion, since he just had surgery on his neck not too long ago. Alright, trying to figure out the best way to put this. Kurt Angle not re-signing with TNA. Is it because he doesn't want to wrestle anymore? Or TNA won't pay him the salary he once had?
Well, I think it's been speculated for years that Angle really shouldn't be wrestling anymore, given his neck injury. But you kind of have to wonder, because you hear rumors and whispers about TNA and what's going on there. As we all know, this is kind of the D month for TNA in terms of their TV deal and whether or not it's actually going to get renewed or not. We've seen several key players, several big names leave TNA in the last few months. Angle is one of the biggest names that they had left on the roster. I think at this point, the big names that are left are the Hardy Boys and Drew Galloway.
I guess you can, I don't even consider Drew Galloway a big name, because I don't think he's under one of the big contracts.
Fair enough. So the Hardy Boys?
I would say at least Jeff Hardy's under the big contract. Matt probably has a decent contract, but I don't even think he might not even be under contract. Jeff Hardy's probably the only one that really under contract at this point. Hopefully they have EC3 under an actual contract and not a pay per play type deal, since he is the world champion. It's becoming, I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this. As you mentioned, it's D-Day coming up. The end of the month is approaching, and we're about 20 days away.
Right.
There's been nothing said. Nothing. Everyone knows, their fan base knows, it's because it's the internet. The time is coming near, and nothing is being said. Are they just going to go ho-hum about the way they are, just business as usual, go back and tape some TV, which isn't even announced? There's no next set of TV tapings announced. The next set of shows is the house shows after Bound for Glory weekend house shows, and then house shows at the end of October for Halloween. There's no TV in between. Nothing announced yet.
Which is telling in and of itself. The fact that they don't have their next set of TV taping scheduled, because I think they are taped up till the end of the month.
It's very conflicting. It really is. Because the way it's listed, there's a show on the 23rd, and then there's something called Countdown to Bound for Glory on the 30th. If that's a show that's in the can, or is it's a 2-hour video recap show. But that's the last show airing on Destination America, schedule-wise. And it's like, October, you don't even have tapings scheduled. So it's like, are you going to just take the rest of the year off and then come back for new season in January? Is that the idea? I don't know. And it's very troublesome to be a fan. It's hard to keep up. It's hard to stay up to date with the product when you don't know its future.
Yeah, it's really hard to invest in it. I mean, at this point, they're in the middle of the invasion angle. I actually think the deciding match is this coming week.
Yeah, last night's episode. Yeah, it'll be next week. It'll be the winner takes all show next week.
Which you would think that they would save that for Bound for Glory, but they're not. They're going ahead with that, and they're pushing it to TV, and they're pushing this through. They're doing it. This is a very quick invasion angle that they're doing between TNA and GFW, which, given how they've done past invasion angles with, you know, Aces and Eights and other organizations, they're really rushing this through.
Yeah.
Like you can tell with the way that they sort of scripted out their TV and kind of gotten through things that they're trying to fit it all in potentially by the end of September. Like they know something, it's almost like they're telling everybody something is going to happen at the end of September, and we're trying to get everything resolved and all the loose ends tied up before that last TV show airs, or before Bound for Glory.
Because we did, we watched Slammiversary, we covered Slammiversary. There was a special edition of WTR Sunday Night where we talked about it live, and we thought that was the end there. And you could tell it felt like the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what Bound for Glory is going to feel like, you know?
Bound for Glory's going to feel weird, because honestly, it's like, you think of Bound for Glory, you think of TNA, and you think of the names, all the names that have come through TNA, and the names that aren't going to be there, the mainstays of TNA, guys guys like Kurt Angle, guys like James Storm, you know, other people that have left, that all these mainstays that have come through, that have put their blood and sweat and tears in the company, and they've all left.
Yeah.
At this point. And that's not to say that the people that are staying haven't done that, but it's like guys like Magnus, guys like Storm, Angle, and just to name a few off the top of my head that I can think of, you know, Mickie James being, you know, for the women, you know, people that have really put that effort into the company, and they're not going to be there.
No.
Because they're done. They're gone. They're out. Angle may be there.
Yeah,
Angle, but he's not going to be wrestling.
Knowing Kurt, he might try to wrestle.
Kurt, don't try to wrestle. Please don't.
But it's very hard. It's very troublesome. Like, I watch the show every week. I don't pay attention to the whole thing, but I at least, you know, pay attention and I follow along what the hell's going on. But it's hard to feel like I'm invested in the product, and it's been this way all year because you don't know its future.
Yeah.
Because they're just not giving you that future.
I agree. And it's, you feel like, and especially with them rushing to put Jeff Jarrett in the Hall of Fame, like that's, to me, that's the most telling thing, because normally they wait till Bound for Glory to put whoever they're going to put in the Hall of Fame in.
Yeah.
And they rush that. They put it on television.
Put it on television. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They put it on television. They ran through it, and it was the genesis of the beginning of this invasion angle where he got power. He got his power back, and because the law, Bully Ray, was taken out, so it's like, okay, the law's taken out because there was no law for 6 months. But hey, Bully Ray was taken out. And then, you know, Karen Jarrett is the evil mastermind, and she sets the blaze, and everything goes kaboom, and they try to do a corporate hostile takeover featuring Scott D'Amore. It was like, oh, hey, Scott D'Amore. And it was just sort of, yeah, and you got the invasion done, and 4 weeks later, it's going to be over. That's it. You know, you set it out for 2 months, you slowly build it up, but it's like, the actual genesis of the thing, it's like 4 or 5 weeks. It's like, oh, I'm not really invested. Because you don't have, like, you have Chris Masters, and you had Justin Gabriel, and Kurt Hawkins, and Sanjay Dutt, but you had people with names, but no, not real names. They're not relevant, big name, established people, and it's not an established company. So it's like 5 weeks, bing, bam, boom, we're done. And it's just, I don't know. Frustrating. So it's like, we'll see here in coming weeks what happens with TNA. It's just, all signs really don't look like a positive TV deal here in the US.
No, and that's not to say that they don't have their international deals, that they aren't going to tape for international if they do lose their US deal. It's just going to hurt them quite a bit when they go to renegotiate their international deals, which we've talked about before. And again, there were rumors circulating that they told talent, well, we'll be fine without a US TV deal. We will be able to survive without one, which is, you wouldn't tell people that unless something was going to happen. And after that, you saw a bunch of people get out.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of people left. So we're kind of beating a dead horse at this point. It feels like the ship is sinking. The rats are jumping. There are going to be people that stay there till the bitter end. So the end of September is approaching, but Kurt Angle making the decision not to resign to TNA is a very, very telling sign. It's a very troubling sign. It may not be anything, but it's really difficult to tell at this point. Oh, damn it. Did Roethlisberger get hurt?
No, did he?
He's limping.
No, he's limping. He's always limping. By the way, yeah, it's 21-11.
Pittsburgh's trying to come back, man. They're trying to come back.
They're trying to make the comeback. By the way, here in a couple minutes before we get into Raw and SmackDown, we'll be making our Super Bowl picks.
Go Falcons.
Not yet. Not yet. We'll get there. Those in the UK, I would double check to see if Kurt Angle is coming to the UK in January. I'm doubting it at this point since he's all over the poster, but
yeah,
we'll have to see.
I would check who all's coming in general.
Yeah. Might be a good idea, because we looked at that poster that's still on their website. Some of them aren't even with the company.
Yeah. And well, speaking of not being with the company, there may be somebody else who's not with the company for very much longer. Or, well, I guess he's not with the company anymore, is he? Or is he still with the company? I don't even know anymore. But it came out that Gunner, was it Gunner?
Yeah.
Kicked a fan in the face at a show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And did not apologize for it, because assault is good. That's exactly what you want when you go to a wrestling show, is assault. I don't even know what to make of this. Like, I feel really bad for the person that got kicked in the face, but I'm just like, wow, this is kind of par for the course at this point.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, oh, it's wrestling. Should have seen it coming. I don't know.
Well, it wasn't like it was an accidental thing. I think it was intentional that he kicked the guy in the face.
Oh, it was. Like, it was an intentional thing, yes.
And from what I understand, the fan was taunting him.
But he's going on Twitter saying it was untrue.
So, well, we'll have to see who's telling the truth there. But Gunnar is not apologetic, but maybe kicking people in the face is not such a good idea, whether they taunt you or not.
Just saying.
But, so,
go ahead.
Yeah.
But let's go to something positive.
Yeah, let's do something positive.
Let's talk about WWE 2K16.
Okay, let's talk about WWE 2K16.
One thing I learned today about WWE 2K16, you can now hair dye. Yeah, there's a tool where you can customize the hair. So if you want the Seth Rollins blonde streak, you can make it yourself now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's one thing I learned today. They've been, the WWE 2K development, YouTube channel has been putting up different videos and stuff. It's like, ooh, they've also reanimated the sharpshooter.
Oh, thank God.
So it actually looks actually pretty cool. But now we go to our weekly, feature, which will last one more week next week, cause I think next week's the final reveal. So here we go. The latest Superstar 3 in WWE 2K16 include Billy Gunn, Bret Hitman Hart,
Boo Boo,
the British Bulldog,
Boo Boo,
Cactus Jack,
you're not saying Boo Boo.
Christian.
He's not saying it.
Damian Sandow.
Nope.
D'Lo Brown.
That one's actually surprising.
Dude Love.
Oh, are we getting three faces of Foley?
Farouk Haku.
That's another surprising one.
The Honky Tonk Man.
Third surprising one.
Well, he was in the last game, so it's not as surprising.
Yeah, but you never know what kind of relationship Honky has with WWE at any given time when the game's gonna come out.
This is true.
So, it's like, is he on good terms this week or is he on bad terms this week? I don't even know anymore.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Another surprising one, but awesome nonetheless.
The Anvil Jim Neidhart.
That is surprising.
But if you watch Total Divas, not really.
Not really, no, because he did get scanned for it, but...
We have Kama Mustafa.
Ooh.
So we have the Nation of Domination.
Hey.
The world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. The third face of Foley, Mankind.
So now you can do the three faces of Foley, I think, as a faction.
Yeah.
Against everybody.
Yeah.
We can all finally do the three faces of Foley match.
There you go. Paul White, The Big Show. This is not just The Big Show, this is actually as the old school Paul White. Rikishi. Shane O'Mac.
That's super surprising that he's in the game.
I'm excited for that one.
I'm excited for that. That's pretty awesome.
HBK Shawn Michaels.
Not shocked.
The man they call Vader.
Not shocked.
And Vince McMahon.
That's a given.
And finally, X-Pac.
No boo-boo!
We are at 100 people so far.
So they have 60 more?
20 more.
20 more? Damn. He's probably going to be in the last release, but yeah. So this is shaping up to be a really extensive roster, and it's awesome.
Right. It is. It's shaping up pretty well. By the way, for those just tuning in, this is The Rack Live. We're here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. You can interact with us live at WildTalkRadio.com in our interactive chat room. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio or at Rack Radio Show. I had to do the hard reset because we're changing topics, Lindsay.
We're changing topics.
We're changing topics because before we get into Raw and SmackDown, we have to make our picks. So here it is. Who is going to the Super Bowl?
Not the Falcons. I can promise you that. Not the Eagles either.
Hey, they could. Alright, so what's your pick? Who's going in? What two teams?
Oh, crap. Patriots?
Okay.
I'm trying to think of who's in the West.
Or the NFC. You got the Packers, you got the Seahawks, you got the Eagles, you got the Cowgirls.
Actually, I had to make a Cowboys ad at work today. I felt so dirty.
Oh, God. Did you shower afterwards?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
You know what? Fuck it. Patriots in Green Bay.
Not a bad matchup there. I'm going homerish. We're going with the Philadelphia Eagles taking on... I was going to say Pittsburgh coming into the day, but I'm watching them play.
Wow, Belichick's actually wearing a shirt!
Well, it's hot out.
Is he wearing khakis? Did they actually get him to wear real pants?
He normally wears khakis.
Not when I've seen him. He's either in jeans or sweats.
No, he wears khakis. We'll do Eagles and Colts.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, we'll go from there. Those are our official Super Bowl predictions. And every Saturday night on CB Radio, we will have Subway and Rob's expert football picks.
Yes.
As this Saturday night is CB Radio 400.
Let's see if we can break a certain record on CB Radio 400.
We have to say at least 204 times.
It's going to be a challenge. I don't know if I'm even going to be awake for it, but I'm going to try.
Yeah, anyway, so let's get into Raw and SmackDown now, shall we? Since we didn't do a post-show on Monday, let's get into a little bit of Raw.
Okay, fair enough.
Favorite part of Raw?
That's kind of hard, but honestly, favorite part of Raw was New Day, Edge and Christian, and the Dudleys all backstage. That was... If anybody ever asked me why I love wrestling, like, love wrestling, I'm going to point him at that moment. It's the stupidest thing, but I have never laughed so damn hard in my whole life as I did at that moment, because it was like, holy crap, this is amazing, because you have Edge and Christian, you have the Dudleys, we have kazoos, we have a trombone, we have people trying to sing.
It was just
epic.
All right.
Shh.
I have been waiting for this all my life. Okay, hold it down, respect the crap. Hold it down, hold it down, respect the battle!
Yeah! Yeah.
Perfect! You got him!
You're acting like you won. You said battle.
You said battle.
No. You can't have a battle. Everybody knows. Without a kazoo. Oh, yeah. I got a song I think you guys will know, and I think you can also agree it totally reeks of awesomeness.
No, that's not a kazoo.
Yeah.
Yeah! We don't care about your kazoo,
he ate the kazoo.
And enter Dudleys.
Where you guys going? No. Stay right there. I got something that you guys might want to know. You see, we just got done talking to the authority. Next week, right here on Raw, the primetime players got a rematch for your world tag team championship.
Why are you telling us this?
You know what the best part about it is? Is that the winner of this match, we get at the Night of Champions. No.
Why are you
on the ticket anyway? Hey! Now you can leave.
We had plans anyways.
We had a match.
We things.
We was gonna leave anyway. We know.
We're going.
Hey, wait.
Whoa.
Did you hear our new song?
No, we didn't hear your song.
You ain't got bars.
You ain't no musician,
tonight.
You didn't.
Taking no pipes.
Check this out. Get the tape.
Hey, what?
Get the tape.
No.
Get the tape.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is why I love wrestling.
That is why we love wrestling, yes.
That was awesome. Sheamus saying he was related to Ronald McDonald. We about died laughing. Because I was watching it with friends who were in town for Dragon Con. We all watched it together. We all about died laughing at Sheamus when he's like, don't talk about my... When they bring up Ronald McDonald and he's like, don't talk about my family like that. It's like, oh my god.
Going back to the Dudleys and Edge and Christian, just seeing them on TV together, so it's like, Oh,
that was a moment. That was like, the feels.
And the fact that that Big E ate the kazoo.
Or tried to eat the kazoo.
Tried to. And I love that someone had to go, an intern's job today was, go to the dollar store and buy some kazoos. This was the job because they had multiple kazoos throughout the night. Because they were on the Stone Cold podcast as well, and they had a bunch of kazoos. And they played Stone Cold's theme on the kazoos. Which is pretty epic.
I wouldn't be surprised if Edge or Christian brought them with them, honestly.
They may have. They may have stopped off at the store and went, hey, we need some kazoos. Let's go get some kazoos.
I mean, would not be surprised with those two.
I really want it. Yeah, the Ronald McDonald thing was cool. Let's talk about, want to talk about Wyatt's first or Divas first?
Let's talk about Wyatt's first.
Alright. So this is going to be a combination of Raw and SmackDown. So it was announced last week on SmackDown that it would be a six-man tag team match at, Night of Champions between the Wyatt family and Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, the partner of their choosing. Well, it appeared on Monday Night Raw that Randy Orton was going to be the partner as there was a backstage meeting between Ambrose, Reigns, and Orton. Orton wins his match against Sheamus. Alright, before we get there, enough with Randy Orton and Sheamus.
Please.
I wanted to turn off my TV.
It went way too long.
Way too long. Nothing against them, but I've seen it. I'm over it. Move on. So, after the match, Randy Orton picks up the win. RKO out of nowhere. Shocker.
Well, that was the only thing that came out of nowhere.
Well, yeah. The thing that came out of nowhere were the Wyatt family. And they basically destroyed Randy Orton.
He didn't destroy Randy Orton. Braun wanted to give him a really big hug. And, well, he got a little overzealous.
He got a little overzealous. He doesn't know his strength and he just sort of squeezes the life out of someone.
Braun is a very aggressive hugger.
Very
aggressive. That's what we're going with.
That's what we're going with. So Randy Orton was taken out. And now on SmackDown, Jimmy Uso. He was ready for a hot tag. Gets it from Roman Reigns. And, well, the Wyatt family, well, sort of capture Jimmy Uso, and you just come back and Strowman is again hugging Jimmy Uso. The lights disappear. Bam! Down goes an Uso.
I actually kind of like this. I like the fact that Bray is basically like, yeah, we're gonna take out anybody that you're even thinking about getting. Because, yeah, like, I don't care if it's two of you, I don't care if it's three of you, I don't care if it's four, I don't care if it's 879 of you. We are gonna take out everybody that you try to bring into this because it's family versus family. And when he considers family, it's Dean and Roman.
Which, by the way, before we continue on, we gotta go back to what happened on SmackDown with Dean and Roman. Roman was like, do we really need to bring Jimmy Uso into it? Yeah, yeah. Dean's like, yeah, he's family. He's family. He's my family. Since he's your family, he's my family. We're all blood. And the face Roman Reigns was making is like, I don't think.
Dude, no.
That's not a good idea. But whatever.
I feel like Roman is constantly in this state between Dean no and damn it, Dean, not again.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's that constant fluctuation for Roman, where, like, Dean comes up with all these crazy harebrained schemes, and Roman's like, no, damn it, Dean.
Gotta go along with it anyhow. Too late.
Gotta go along with it anyhow, because, yeah, it's like, Dean and Jimmy are all excited, and they're bouncing up and down, and they run off together, and Roman's like, why am I going along with this? Why? Okay, I'm going along with it. And he just kind of follows them.
So, at this point, since the Uso was taken out, this one was Dean's fault.
I'm kind of... And it was interesting how he said, since he's my family, since he's your family, he's my family. Since he's your cousin, he's my cousin. Your blood, he's my blood.
Uh-huh.
I'm curious to see what this does, because Roman said he didn't want to bring any more of his family into it.
Right.
Meaning his blood family. So, I'm curious to know if this starts to cause some kind of tension or separation between Dean and Roman, because it's, like you said, it's Dean's fault that Jimmy got hurt. So someone from Roman's actual family, his blood family, got hurt because of Roman and Dean. And it was really Dean's idea to do it. So it's like, dude, you got my family hurt. What the heck?
Right.
Kind of deal where I'm kind of almost waiting for Roman to tell Dean he's not blood. I'm serious. I'm waiting for that. Where Roman's like, yeah, we're friends. You're my brother, but you're not blood.
Right.
Like, there's family and then there's family. Blood family.
Right.
And it's like, you know, there is a line between the two. And it's like, Dean for Roman, I don't think is blood family. At least in terms of storyline. Now, real life, I don't know. I'm not going to make that judgment. But in terms of storyline, it's, where is that line for Roman? Because Bray's prepared to go after anybody.
And I like that. I like that he's targeting everyone they attempt to bring in.
It's a really clever strategy, because now it's something Dean and Roman are going to have to get extra sneaky in order to find a partner. And it's that idea that Bray is stalking them and following them and finding out who they're bringing on with them to fight him.
Right, and going back to Monday Night Raw and the Randy Orton thing, what kind of friends are Dean and Roman? They should have came out there and helped Randy Orton, but they didn't.
They were busy.
Did Randy say, I'm not going to buy the beer or something?
Apparently.
Because, you know, they were talking to him, you know, probably setting up the whole idea to be partners, and, you know, they weren't anywhere to be found.
And that's going to speak volumes, because it's like, okay, well, you guys didn't have Randy's back. You really didn't have Jimmy's back. Nobody's going to want to mess with the Wyatts, because they're targeting people. So it's like, anybody that even talks to Dean and Roman, it's like, yeah, dude, I don't want any part of that. Like, I don't want Bray Wyatt showing up out of nowhere kicking my butt for even, like, you know, being in the same room with you, so can we not?
Right, and we're going to talk more about it next week when we preview United Champions, but it's something where it's like, yeah, at this rate, who is going to want to team up and take all the Wyatts? If you just align yourself with Dean and Roman, you get destroyed. That's not a way to do business. If you're someone on the roster, it's like, this is not my problem. Why am I going to jump in and try to help you guys solve your problem? They're your problem. They're not my problem.
Yeah, so it's, who will step up? Who will say that they are unafraid of the Wyatts, if anyone? I think we'll have to see.
We're going to have to see. And before we get into Divas really quick, the statue got destroyed.
Oh my God, Sting in the statue. That was amazing.
I liked how they used Sting on Raw.
It was really clever how they did it. I like how they had the statue. And the whole time I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, you realize you could just get another one made, right? Like, Seth's out there throwing a tantrum because a statue got stolen. And it's like, dude, they could just make another one. I'm pretty sure they have the mold. Logic.
But it's the original. You can only have one original. You can only have one of one, the first edition, one time.
Well, one of one is trashed. It's now a modern art.
I want him to go pull it out of the dumpster.
I want to see him pulling it out of the dumpster, honestly. I really, really do. I want to see Seth wandering through a trash heap looking for his statue. Or he's standing next to it and it's got like a banana peel on top of it or something like that from where he's pulled it out of the trash.
Yeah, yeah. Because they brought out the car for a while, so I was like, let's bring out the statue. Why not?
Because we can.
I'm trying to think if there was anything else of note from Monday Night Raw. By the way, the Raw post-show returns with a season premiere this Monday night at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll actually do the full Monday Night Raw post-show / football post-game live.
Yes. As the Falcons take on the Eagles.
Yeah, so we're going to be occupied that night, so we're going to be watching both shows and giving you a report on both. Now let's get into the Divas. Oh, the Divas. So this coming Monday, it will be Charlotte taking on Nikki Bella for the Divas Championship as Charlotte tries to end the reign of Nikki Bella before she can break the record next week on Raw. The promo on SmackDown was good. I'm liking how serious Charlotte is taking it. I liked how serious they were on Raw between the two. I love seeing Charlotte make her tap out to the figure eight, but at the same time, it worries me. It worries me that Nikki's going to win on Monday.
The only thing that that keeps the faith alive in me is that they're doing the Divas Championship on Night of Champions, correct?
There will probably be a Divas Championship match on Night of Champions.
They don't have time to name another number one contender after Charlotte goes for Nikki's title on Monday. They don't have the time unless they do something on SmackDown for it. Realistically, it makes sense to have Charlotte take the title off of Nikki Monday. They do the rematch on Sunday. And then that way, if you're going to keep it on Charlotte, Nikki has gone ahead and gone through her rematch. So that's out of the way. So that opens the door for someone from Team Bad or somebody else from Team Bella or whatever, from anybody for that matter, to come in and challenge Charlotte for the title. That's the only thing that gives me hope, because honestly, if you have Charlotte going in against Nikki and she loses,
you're killing the momentum of the Divas Revolution.
You're killing the momentum of the Divas Revolution. And at that point, it's, okay, well, Charlotte beat Nikki, so who's Nikki facing on Sunday? Then you have to go through the trouble of naming a number one contender for Nikki's title, unless you're just going to do Charlotte Nikki too, at which point it's kind of pointless because you've already done the first match. Now you're getting it a week later, and it's like, oh, you know, Charlotte basically taking the title off Nikki on Sunday would be really pointless. Everybody, I think, is wanting to see her do it on Monday, because I think a lot of people don't want to see the record get broken.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, it makes sense to have Charlotte break the record.
Oh, he caught that? Oh, he fumbled. Okay, that was a crazy play. Yeah, it doesn't...
Dogpile.
And they ended up in the end zone.
Wow.
That was a crazy spot. Going back to the Diva situation, it's like, I know they want Nikki to break it, but it's like, if you don't mention the record, no one will know how long they've held it.
I agree with that, and I feel like because they're doing the Bellatron, which is like the Honkometer, which is like everything else, when they do a countdown like that, and they start talking about how long they've been the champion, you know that title's coming off of them really, really soon, because it's, okay, yeah, the title's coming off.
So, yeah.
It's because it happened with Punk, it happened with AJ. I would guess it's happening with Nikki. I just don't, like, the way I can see this playing out is it comes down to, like, a minute.
Yeah, I thought that we the scenario we mentioned, yeah, they have it ending at midnight.
Yeah, so it's like, it's gonna come down to, like, a minute or 30 seconds or something, either where she doesn't get it or she gets it.
No, like, no, the clock ends at midnight.
Oh, the clock ends at midnight?
Yeah. So it screws up that idea, because that would have been the perfect idea. You can have her beat the clock and still lose the belt.
Well, it depends. Okay, so here's the scenario. She loses it an hour before the clock runs out.
Mm-hmm.
So say that's the main event of Raw, is the Divas title,
well,
right?
It'd be awesome. It won't be, but yeah, go with it.
Yeah, go with it. Just go with me on this, all right?
I'm going with
you. Got it on NXT. Go with me on this. So Charlotte and Nikki have their match on Raw. The Divas, the countdown clock is there. Charlotte pins Nikki at 11 o'clock, 1 hour before the record was supposed to break. And it's just up there on the clock, or up there on the Tron, as Charlotte celebrates her victory.
And here's what I'm trying to figure out. Why is it set for midnight? This is why I'm confused, why if it's set at midnight. Because if you realistically think about it, wouldn't it be the time when she got pinned and won the championship? Shouldn't that be the start of it?
I think it officially starts the next day.
But if you're doing a countdown clock, it should start when she got
pinned. Don't bring logic into this.
No, because that would help our scenario. Where you turn the clock back a little bit, and it should be around like 9:30.
I agree with that. Excuse me. Except I think they start it that next day.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
Win the title that night, and then you, like, in terms of actual number of days that you've held it, they start it that next day. Because it's not a full day. It's only a couple hours depending on when you win it. Cause I think Nikki won it at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So it's only 2 hours at that point till midnight, you know, two, three hours. So they're not going to count 2, 3 hours. It's just basically, okay, it starts at midnight and that's when you start as champion.
Oh, I know. It's just, you know, it would have worked. It would have helped our scenario.
Oh, it would have totally helped our scenario. But yeah, I can see it coming down to where it's like, it's an hour before or a couple minutes before the time is set to expire and Charlotte pins or submits Nikki in the middle of the ring and Nikki doesn't get the record, because with the way that they're talking about it, with her saying, oh, we're going to have a huge party and the bottles are going to be popping and we're going to be celebrating and everybody's invited, and, you know, them doing the clock and her, you know, basically saying, oh, I've been champion this many days. Yeah, it's coming to an end. Whether it's going to be Monday or Sunday, which we'll get into it more depending on what happens Monday. Yeah, yeah. Nikki Bella is not long as champion.
This is true. And by the way, give me more Paige and Sasha.
Dude, I don't understand why Sasha isn't in this match. Sasha should be in this match.
The next feud needs to be Sasha and Charlotte for the championship, just saying.
Like, there should be somebody from Team Bad in the title picture, in this title match. I'm a little irritated that they're not, honestly.
Oh, me too, but give me more Paige and Sasha.
Yeah, because they about killed each other tonight on SmackDown.
And now officially Gronkowski gets the touchdown.
He's doing his little shimmy.
Yeah, they reviewed the last one. He did not get in. He was short, and now he finally got the touchdown. So there you go.
So he feels better about himself?
He feels very much better about himself. Yes.
So, but I think that does it for Raw and news. What do you think?
Yeah, Raw, SmackDown news, we're good. I say we go take a break and come back, talk some NXT.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to do. So when we come back, like you said, we're talking NXT. We'll fill you in on everything that happened on the show, and we've got Tweet of the Week. And don't forget, coming up later in the show, we have Scott Lost, so you don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? It just gets weirder and weirder. Gun, I thought the people are gonna be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you.
Gundam style. Gundam from the Pokemon Boo.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Did Mr. Sumi in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know if you
got 800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless ours, made in America.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client, Brock Lesnar, said, Shoeplex City. Bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And we are being brought back by the demon himself, Finn Balor. But before we get to NXT, we have to do Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, Sheamus. Oh, Sheamus. I love his Twitter. It's so special. It shows a picture of his back after he's gotten done wrestling, and he has 6 circles on it. Very red circles. To which he says, anyone thinking some fella beat lumps out of me, relax. A wee Chinese cup massage lady did this. Hashtag, I look stupid. Kyle Edwards tweets, any guesses on how Sheamus and Ronald McDonald are related? Second cousins twice removed? To which Sheamus replies, he's my burger-in-law. Missy Hyatt, at least Summer got to see Ziggler in a non-PG setting. All I got was Stan Hansen in boxers with chewing dip.
Saw the picture. It was weird.
It is weird. WWE creative humor. How does Rusev know heel Ziggler is hairless? This sure did take a turn. I asked the same thing. The WWE Bible. It's past 9 p.m. F this. I'm flicking over to Nitro. Oh, hang on. The Fans Podcast. Hashtag things better than Team Bella. Jillian Hall's mole.
No, it's not. Bella's better.
Sheamus. And there is no context for this, so I just favorited it without the context. Dual pale freckle ginger goodness.
Okay.
And finally, Sheamus. With a picture. Dropping iron and eating cake. How us Irish lads smash the gym. And it's a picture of him with a dumbbell and a brownie in his mouth. He's such a special little snowflake. It's amazing.
He is. Is that all you got?
That's all I got. All
right, so let's begin at the beginning, shall we? Not Sports Center. Cardinals. QB Matt Barkley on losing the quarterback battle to Tim Tebow. It's the most embarrassing moment of my life. I may never go outside again. Sadly, Tim Tebow did not win that battle either. Not Sports Center. Report. The Redskins will now be referring to RG3 as Robert Griffin, the third string quarterback. Rachel Nichols. Watching the Dragon Con folks mix with the Louisville Auburn fans in town for the Chick-fil-A kickoff is high theater in Atlanta this morning.
Yeah.
By the way, cheap plug, The Rack Invade Dragon Con edition coming this weekend, as Lindsay was at Dragon Con.
Yeah, I got to go to Dragon Con.
Yeah, so we'll have a whole podcast about it. So tune in for that.
I saw Stephen Amell. He's very pretty.
Mr. Simon Gotch was doing a Q&A on Twitter earlier this week. Someone goes, who do you want to face one-on-one in your first match on Monday Night Raw? His answer, Steve Blackman.
Yes! Book it!
Someone asked, how do you feel about tables? They're great for meals, writing, and various other tasks. Someone asked a question, how would you and WWE Drama King, Aiden English, take on The New Day? His response, in a ring. Ryan Russillo goes, you guys should rank all NFL teams 1 to 32 on best fit for Tebow on SportsCenter at Bucci Gross. Get Polian to do it. Then do an internet poll. By the way, Tim Tebow has found a job with ESPN.
Shocker.
Corey Graves tweets, Did Christopher Peeps just win that battle by playing the wrong side of a kazoo? Sure yes. did. Hashtag skills. Bailey. Big E. Be my best friend, Sasha Banks. That's my best friend. Bye. And she tweeted Bailey, your booty gif after her. Bailey tweeted, oh, okay, my bad. That's what I thought. And then put a picture out of Big E being hugged by Bailey. It's amazing.
Aww.
By the way, Sasha Banks on Twitter with the New Day in Instagram videos.
It's awesome.
Best thing ever.
I needed to make it to TV.
They're so entertaining together. It's not even funny.
Team Bad and
the New Day.
The New Day together, just going against each other. Oh my god, it's awesome. Yeah. I want a Dub Smash War so bad.
That would be awesome.
I'm waiting for it.
Greg Parks. So does Jon Stewart come out and cost Nikki the match, not wanting AJ's record to be broken? Hashtag Raw. We didn't think of that scenario. He doesn't like his records being broken, so, you know.
No, we need the female equivalent of Stewart. Who is the female equivalent wrestling? Ronda Rousey.
Ronda,
we need you to do a thing.
We need you to do a thing. Corey Graves. If the New Day doesn't make you smile, check your pulse. You probably also hate puppies and bacon. Hashtag pop. Hashtag tricep meat. Hashtag raw. Gregory Helms. Help. I'm heading to the UK tomorrow and I haven't used the metric system in a while. How many Instagrams are there in a quarter pounder? Keep it 5-star. I love Jimmy Uso and Naomi and their 90s black sitcom family. Hashtag total divas. Not SportsCenter. Here's the NFL power ranking. Are you ready? At number 1, the Patriots. Go all the way down. Ohio State is 30. Raiders are 31. The Dillon Panthers are 587. The Browns are 588. The Little Giants make the list at 2,571. And at 2,572, the Redskins.
What, no Cowboys shot?
No Cowboys shot. No.
I'm so proud.
continuing on. This is about the Apple Pencil. Okay. Someone tweets, dentist, do you chew your pens? Me? No. I'm not common trash. I only chew on my Apple Pencil. Someone tweets, I hope the next version is called the Apple number 2 pencil. Now I just need an Apple pencil case and ruler, then my stationary dreams will be realized. Hashtag Apple event. Someone tweets, that Apple pencil cost $99 and it doesn't even come with a red eraser on top. Shame. In 2014, bigger phones. 2015, the Apple pencil. Coming in 2016, the Apple fax machine. 2017, the Apple pager. And 2018, the Apple Apagus.
You forgot slide rule.
Slide rule. Oh, they didn't tweet that. Someone tweets to Bailey, I know Dana Brooke could beat It's Bailey to win the NXT Women's Championship for the future. Hashtag Total Divas, hashtag Total Diva. Bailey's response was, no, she said NXT champion, right? Watch out, WWE Balor. We'll get into that in a minute. And then that 700 level goes, that's not rain, son. That's the baseball gods shedding tears of joy on Philadelphia. As today, they fired Ruben Amaro Jr., as general manager, a long time coming.
I'm sure the city was rejoicing.
They were rejoicing. But that's Tweet of the Week.
So all right, now
we're going to get into a little bit of NXT. Tonight's episode was women and tag team matches. That's the theme of this tonight's show.
I'm okay with this.
We had Peyton Royce taking on Carmella. It wasn't a bad match.
It wasn't a long match, but it was a good match.
It was a good match. Carmella won with her leg scissors, making Peyton Royce tap out. Joe and Finn prepared for the match backstage. Joe made sure Finn had his belt.
Finn, you're so adorable.
He's your newest muse, isn't he?
He is.
Check out
that silly demon man.
Yeah, check out her artwork. Go at Lynn's Word on Twitter.
Yeah. Total Balor. Because he wants to be a total diva so bad.
And he's the one who started it, too.
Oh, I know he's the one that started it. He wants to be a total diva. He so does. It's hilarious.
It is. We learned at live events, Enzo and Kaz and Dawson and Wilder won matches to events in the Dusty Rhodes Classic, which was pretty cool.
I need smack from Enzo stat.
We then had Tommaso Ciampa and Gargano taking on Bull Dempsey and Tyler Breeze.
Team Pretty Bull.
Well, they weren't exactly the best of team.
No.
Tyler Breeze was not happy being teamed up with the Bull. And the Bull did his best. Breeze, well, he got slapped around a bunch. He wasn't having a lot of fun in this match. Breeze was down the floor. Bull went for a tag. Well, couldn't do it since he was on the floor. Ciampa and Gargano were able to pick up the win and advance in the tournament.
So Team Pretty Bull does not advance. Damn.
No, after the match, Tyler Breeze beat up Bull Dempsey.
So not nice. Tyler!
Right?
Gosh.
The Lucha Dragons hyped their match later tonight against Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. We had Dana Brooke talking about, you know, missing the Arnold Classic, but then setting her sights on Bayley and wanting to become the next NXT Women's Champion. It was a solid promo she did on NXT.
It's better. She's improving. And this is just a personal thing for me. I felt like I just keep feeling like she's wearing too much makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seeing Dana Brooke on Tough Enough and seeing what she looks like without all the makeup, I think she's, like, less is more for her. I really do. Like, she wears just way too much for me. And I know that's part of the gimmick, but I wish she would wear a little less, because I think she would just look better.
Tone down the color.
Not even tone down the color, just tone down...
everything.
The mushness of it. It's just, it's like, you're so beautiful, you shouldn't cover that up with so much crap. You know? Because it's like, wow. You know, when it's not there, it's like... when she's just natural. And that's just how I am. I like people to look more natural.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm weird like that. But yeah, it's like seeing her in a more natural state is like, oh, wow. You know, okay, yeah. She actually is, at least to me, much more attractive in her natural state. Maybe she's more comfortable with more makeup. She's more comfortable with more makeup, and that's fine. And if that's what makes her comfortable, then go for it. But just for me, it's like, I feel like she should, like, tone it back just a little bit.
I'm with you.
And I think it would do much more. But that's just me. Because it's really hard to, like, look at her, because she just, it's like, you just see the makeup, you know? You don't see her, you see the makeup.
I'm with you on that one. She took on Billie Kay in the next match. Another solid match. It was a showcase of Dana Brooke. Billie Kay tried to make a comeback at one point, but got kicked in the ribs, and then Dana Brooke hit her finish for the victory. We then had Apollo Crews talk about being in NXT. And then we got our main event from, in a different arena, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe taking on the Lucha Dragons.
This is a great match.
This was a really, really good competitive match. I love the dive by Finn Balor. He showed up with his fancy leather jacket.
He remembered his title.
Joe at one point went for the muscle buster, but it got encountered. Eventually would hit it, and then Finn hit the double stomp. Your winners, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, so they move on in the Dusty Rhodes Classic.
So go them.
Go them. Overall, this was a solid edition of NXT. Nothing newsworthy, but we're continuing the tournament, which I like. And we focus on the women.
We did focus on the women, which was fantastic. And I can't wait to see what comes next week, because next week is Bayley's homecoming. And it's the first time we get to see her in NXT as the women's champion, which is pretty awesome.
I can't wait for it. It's going to be awesome. I'm ready for it. It's going to be amazing.
I'm right there with you. So, before we go to break, we did forget one thing in the news.
Okay.
Tomorrow, in select theaters and on demand, Dean Ambrose's movie, 12 Rounds, Lockdown, comes out. Go support it. Go do the thing, because it actually looks like it's going to be pretty good. I've been seeing, like, snippets from the movie and the trailers, and he actually... you can completely buy him as a cop, which is scary.
Right.
But he looks believable in this movie. And it looks like it's actually going to be pretty good. Aside from the fact that the cars have Georgia plates, and it's California. But...
Details. Don't get
hung
up.
That's just me.
Don't get hung up on the details. God. Who are you, me?
Yes. We share a brain, remember?
Okay, yeah, this makes all sense. Yeah, the little details matter. So.
But I say we go to break.
Yeah, it's a good time to go to break.
So when we come back, we're going to be talking to the one and only Scott Loss. He's going to be telling us all about his comic book series, Second Shift. We're going to be talking some pro wrestling and so much more, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Turn the lights down, I'm in my zone.
And welcome back to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are super excited because joining us right now is one of the co-founders of one of the most world-famous independent wrestling promotions, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, who is now following one of his other passions in life, and that's being a comic book creator and artist. He has an amazing Kickstarter campaign that we're going to tell you all about later. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Scott Loss to the show.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
How are you doing today?
I'm good. Can't complain.
Well, we're happy to have you on. We're happy to talk to you. And I just want to dive right in and have you tell us a little about the Kickstarter campaign and what are you looking to accomplish with it?
Okay, so this is my third Kickstarter, and it is to have issue 5 of my comic series, The Second Shift, printed, as well as the trade paperback, which would collect issues 1 through 5. So I have a goal of $5,700, which takes care of all of the printing costs. So we hit $5,700. We're good as far as printing goes. So I'm really hoping to get that done. And yeah, I think we have about 21 days left.
Well, that's awesome. And how are you doing on your goal so far?
So far we've raised $1,703. So how's that? $3,997 to go.
Just a little bit, you know?
Yeah, just a little bit.
So for those of us that aren't familiar with the Second Shift series, can you kind of tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It's about a young superhero team coming up, learning how to balance the normal 9-to-5s like you and I would have. So you know how like Peter Parker, he's a photographer. And then he gets to take pictures of Spider-Man, you know, and he makes money that way. Or Clark Kent, he's a reporter, and so he can go around being Superman, saving the world, and then write a report on it. So in a way, they have jobs that are, they're pretty amazing jobs, but not all of us have. So my characters have really regular, mundane jobs that you and I would have. Like one works at a restaurant. She's a waitress. Another is a college student, doesn't even have a job. One guy works at a comic book store, which is really cool, but you don't really make a lot of money working at a comic book store. So,
right.
The last guy, the leader, he actually works at Fish World, which is kind of like SeaWorld. But all four of them live in a 3-bedroom apartment, and they don't have like a Batmobile or anything like that. They have this like 85 Toyota beater van that they drive around in. And they're in the first story arc, they're facing off against a villain who has the ability to feed off of negative energy and anger. So the more anger that's around him or irritation or anything like that, he gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And he's like a psychopath, sociopath. So he has no conscience and he just pretty much kills anyone and everyone. So the team is basically on the search for him. Mm-hmm. And the fifth issue, which we're trying to fund, is the culmination of the first story arc, and they actually all show down with him. And so it's like a 22-page fight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like that they, that, you know, one of the ways you maybe can combat him is positive energy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Or just, you know, there's, yeah, well, I'll let the issue play out, but yeah, definitely worth checking out. And so, yeah, that's basically what the second shift's about. It has a lot of character development. It's, my writer, Ed, he's pretty amazing. He, maneuvered the story in a way to where there's a lot of action and character development in the first issue. And the second issue has a lot of character development. You sit around with the characters a lot. It's like going through their day and, like, you know, their jobs and everything like that. So you get a feel how, I mean, not that we wouldn't know, but you feel the characters in their first shift. And then, so by the time they get to their second shift, they're pretty excited to really get their day going.
Right. You know, you have to get through the humdrum everyday day job stuff. And then it's like, once you get out of that, it's like, oh, hey, I can go do what I really want to do now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is,
and then they have to deal with lack of sleep. So.
Oh, yeah. Lack of sleep would, yeah. Yeah. I never understood in comics, especially for like Peter Parker, how he got by on a photographer's salary and no sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That never got explained properly.
No, no, yeah. And that's, you know, like, you know, just having roommates and stuff throughout my life, it's kind of like, okay, well, these characters, like, they have not so great jobs. So realistically, they'd probably have to share, you know, share an apartment. And one of the guys actually couch surfs. It's like he doesn't even have a room. So they're just, you know, trying to make ends meet and, you know, do the superhero thing.
That's awesome. So what made you come up with the idea initially? I mean, were you just kind of spitballing it for a while, or what sort of inspired it?
Yeah, you know, they're actually characters I've had since I was in the seventh grade. So they've been around, like, in my mind forever. And, like, you know, all throughout junior high and high school, I was always drawing them. And, you know, through the years, they've, you know, evolved, and they've gone through the different storylines I was planning on doing with them. Like, I think at one point they were like vampire hunters, or no, they were like zombie hunters before zombies blew up. So that was like, I was just trying to find a different take, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer was huge at that time. And I was like, okay, so I can't really do vampires. So what else is there? I could do zombies, I guess. I don't know. Zombies aren't that cool, but, you know. And then, so looking back now, like, might have been a good idea, but.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you never know what's going to blow up, but, you know, I like the idea of the second shift. I think that's cool. That could blow up.
Yeah, you know? Thanks. It was, the thing came with, like, okay, well, that's kind of done, the whole zombie thing, you know, like, it was already taken. So I was like, oh, I kind of want to write about my life, you know, it's something relatable. So my characters, there's four of them, and they're all kind of different parts of my personality. So I just kind of, you know, like, I have the younger brother, the youngest guy on the team. He's kind of like my adolescence. He's like, you know, my childhood and just, you know, teenage years and stuff like that. Like, he's obsessed with pro wrestling. He loves comic books. You know, he's just kind of a goofy, geeky guy in a way. And, you know, the leader is kind of like my leadership qualities, and he's kind of, you know, he is the leader, but at the same time, he questions his decisions and stuff like that. And then, there's a, you know, the younger brother, there's the older sister on the team, and, she's, you know, she plays the sibling role, the older sibling role. And, the fourth character, Anne, she's the brainiac, and she's like deductive reasoning and stuff like that. So she's like the intelligent side of me. So just all different parts of my personality.
That's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
So, you know, growing up, what type of comic books were you interested in, and have any of them served as an inspiration for your current work?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the X-Men growing up. I was a huge X-Men kid, and I still am to this day. Like, I don't have unlimited resources to buy comics, but the one mm-hmm. comic series in Marvel that I'll always keep up with is X-Men. I always want to know what's going on over there. And, you know, they'll have some new faces, but there'll always be the familiar faces. And it's cool to see the evolution of those characters. And kind of in my teenage years, I was a real huge fan of the Wildcats and Gen 13. And so those, you know, those books really inspired the second shift initially. And they're still in there. And then I have, you know, modern influences like Invincible. Invincible is a huge influence on my book. I would say that's about it.
Since you keep up with the X-Men, you know, what has it been like seeing it kind of transition from, as you were as a kid to what it is now? Because obviously it's changed quite a bit in that span of time.
It's really cool. I'm a few months behind on X-Men, but where I left off, it was a real interesting place. So, you know, are you guys reading anything? Are you guys reading X-Men stuff?
I haven't kept up with it in a while, no.
Oh, okay. So they've basically switched Cyclops' role, who's usually the leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of taken the Magneto role in things. So his cause, you know, like for humans and mutants to live together in peace, it's kind of changed. And he's more on the Magneto side of it, where he's kind of like pro-mutant and he only looks out for mutants now. And so it's real interesting. So he went from being like the ultimate Boy Scout to, you know, a more or less a villain. So it's a real interesting place for the X-Men.
I always knew he had that in him. I knew it. They always
It's a very thin line.
It's very easy to cross, you know, but yeah, that's awesome. So we have to talk about pro wrestling.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Because as you mentioned, one of your characters, he loves pro wrestling, and obviously you love pro wrestling.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, as we mentioned earlier, you were one of the original founders of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. What made you get involved with forming your own company?
Around that time, I think what was happening, if I remember correctly, was a lot of the smaller indies were like little indie feds around SoCal. They were kind of dying out. And a lot of the guys, we were used to working, you know, at least twice a week, and
right.
It started to become once a week and then once every other week. And, you know, I had an idea a while back. I used to wrestle at this place called the Marketplace. It's where all of these little rinky dink feds that would pop up for a show or two would run out of. And it was a hole. It was like, it wasn't a glamorous looking place. It was outside under a tent and next to a indoor swap meet situation that had amazing pizza. But so I had an idea to run out of there. That idea never came about. Months and months later, a few of the guys that, you know, we're all close, we're like, we should just start our own Fed. How about we all just chip in and create a new company? So that way we'll run on the weeks where no other Feds are running. So that way we don't interfere with our normal bookings and
right.
We still have an extra place to run. And, you know, then it became the place to wrestle at. And so it was really cool to watch, you know, again, the evolution of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla from what it started off to be. And we started off at Frank and Sons Collectibles, which is this really cool, like indoor, it was like a kind of indoor geek swap meet. So it was like anything nerdy or sports related, something like that, comics, just kind of random things. It's like an indoor swap meet for that, kind of like a little mini Comic Con. And so the first show was out of there, and then we started running at other places, and then we outgrew those, and we ended up in Reseda, which they actually still wrestle to at, you know, at this day. You know.
That's awesome. Did you have any favorite people that you enjoyed wrestling, or was it kind of everybody since you all were so tightly knit?
I loved wrestling Scorpio Sky. He's still to this day, he's my favorite person to wrestle. We just have a tremendous, well, I mean, not that I'm wrestling now, but it was always Scorpio Sky. We had a tremendous in-ring chemistry, and, you know, we're really close friends. We actually traveled to Japan together. You know, we were in Osaka Pro for a month, and, you know, just strengthened our bond. And so no matter every time we got in the ring, I knew we were going to produce a good match, and, like, at least a good match, you know.
That's awesome.
There was a couple other guys that were really fun to work. I only got to wrestle them a couple of times. Kenny Omega was really fun to wrestle. We had a match at Bola. I think it was 2009 or 2010 Bola. I think it might have been 10. And we had a really great match, and it was one of my favorite matches I've ever had. And like, I remember a few months after the match, he goes, "Hey man, I saw that match on tape, and that was a really good match." And I was like, "Yeah, I know it was." And he goes, "No, seriously." He's like not even for like a tournament. Like, that was just a good match. Like, I could watch that match anytime. I was like, "Oh, it's pretty amazing." And Kenny Omega was pretty well established at that time, so that was a huge compliment.
It is a huge compliment. That's awesome. I mean, that would be pretty cool just to have somebody be like, "Oh, I love your stuff. You know, I watch it over and over and over again."
Yeah, it's always cool when you hear stuff like that. I mean, we started PWG, and, you know, we had some shows under our belt, and we started bringing in TNA guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously they're on TV, so we know who they are, and we check out their work. And I guess Alex Shelley had done an interview, and they asked him, you know, who would you like to wrestle? And he said, me. And my tag partner at the time, Joey, he was like, "Hey, did you hear about Shelley's interview?" I was like, "No, what are you talking about?" And because I don't really listen to that type of stuff. I just, you know, wrestle. So, "Oh, yeah, there's a, Alex Shelley did an interview, and he said he wanted to wrestle you." And I was like, "Oh, are you serious?" And I was like, "He knows who I am." So it was a... And, you know, cause I was just a SoCal wrestler and,
right.
you know, I was confident in my abilities, but I just assumed he had never heard of me or anything like that. So that was pretty amazing. And then, you know, we started booking him and then we eventually got a wrestle and we had some great matches. So always fun times with Alex.
That's awesome. So has it been kind of a cool thing for you to see other SoCal wrestlers like Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles? Well, AJ isn't a SoCal wrestler.
Yeah,
but
I'm aware of AJ. He's wrestled for BWG a few times.
So. Yeah, I was gonna say he's from Atlanta, but he's been everywhere. So it's hard to remember that sometimes. But you know, is it cool to see those guys kind of move on to the success that they have?
Yes, yeah, it's very cool to see those guys on TV, like Sami Zayn, you know, Generico. He's to see him and Kevin on TV is. You know, the thing with Zayn is he's always had that way about him, like where you're like, there's something special about him. And in a locker room full of PWG guys who are all, you know, in PWG, they really, you know, as years went on, unfortunately, there was less and less SoCal wrestlers, which I disagreed with, but I'm not in charge. I was never in charge of the booking or even had, honestly, it's like Super Dragon runs that end of it, him and Joey. So it's kind of like whatever they say goes. And so, but I always disliked the fact that there was less and less SoCal wrestlers on the shows. But however, it did get rid of some of the guys where I was even questioning why they were on the show. I was like, you know, like I like SoCal guys on here, but you know, what about that guy? And so eventually it became an all-star roster. It was just like everyone that was on the show, you knew was going to be an amazing wrestler. They were going to have an amazing match. And Generico, he was the guy that always stood out. Like all in a room full of special people, he was the most special. So you just knew he was going to go somewhere. And I'm really happy for Kevin as well. Like they've always been attached at the hip. You know, where you saw one, you saw the other. And it was great to know them all those years. And I actually ran into Generico at San Diego Comic Con this year, and he is without a doubt the same person that I've known for years. And that's pretty amazing for the amount of, you know, success he's had to be the same person.
I was gonna say, he seems like just the nicest, sweetest person you'd ever meet in your life.
He really is. Yeah.
I don't know if that's what you want to say about a professional wrestler, but because, you know, it's sometimes people want to be known as big and mean, but he just, he seems like so
nice. You just
nice.
Look at his face and you just know that's not real. like he's not out to hurt anyone. He's out to have a good time, to have an amazing match. He's, you know, as nice of a guy he is, he's very competitive and he wants to have an amazing match and it's not in him to mail in a match. Like he always goes out there and he gives 110% and he's always been amazing in that way.
Yeah. You know, and like you said, when you see him, you're going to see something absolutely special as we've seen with him on NXT and the match he did with John Cena, which was outstanding.
Yeah.
It's just,
I just
like, wow.
Shoulder injury and it's just like, ah.
Oh, I know. That was, it's like, no.
Yeah, it's the worst time when that happens. And Brian hurt his shoulder. He won, you know, it was like right when he won the title, right? Like he injured his shoulder. Yeah, just, it's unfortunate.
That's never fun. But since we mentioned people who want to be, you know, thought of as big and mean, you know, Kevin Steen, who everybody now knows him as Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. We've seen him make a big splash this year in WWE. And, you know, he credits PWG for helping him get signed by WWE. Can you give us your thoughts on Kevin Owens and watching him come up and grow as a performer?
Yeah, you know what? Kevin's an amazing talent. I remember I had one thing I love about Kevin, much like Generico, he's always the same guy. I mean, I did a show for ROH. A lot of the guys there, even though I knew them from PWG, like things were just different. Everything felt business related. Everything felt, I don't know, everything felt kind of cold in the locker room, a little different. But Kevin was always the same. Like he's just Kevin. So the guy that you see on the screen out there and you see on TV, that's Kevin just turned up a little bit. You know, a lot of personalities at work in wrestling, mm-hmm. they say it's just your personality times 10, right? Like you're just right. Supposed to be this, you know, outrageous person. And Kevin's just like turned up a little bit because Kevin is exactly like that. You know, he's just, you know, the way he looks, the way he talks, it's all the same. It's just slightly higher, I want to say. So he's just the same dude. And I love that about him. He's just a real person. And I like that kind of like translates in his character. He's a family man. And so his character is kind of like, I'm this bully, but I'm a family man. And that's like, yeah, that's Kevin. So
that's Kevin.
It's great to see him on TV, and it's just nothing to do with him, but as far as like the WWE product itself, it's kind of frustrating because everyone was like, you know, I hadn't watched wrestling in a while, and I had started again this year, and they were like, dude, you got to watch NXT, and it's funny, I would just call like, oh, you guys watch Next, and they're like, no, it's NXT. I'm like, well, it looks like Next. I just kept calling it Next. But anyway, so you got to watch NXT. So I finally watched the show, and I was like, huh. And they're like, what? And I'm like, why does everyone think this is great? And they're like, it's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is an indie show. I'm like, this is a highly produced indie show. I'm like, I've been on these shows. Like, why is everyone freaking out about this? And then they were like, well, that's, you know, and then I realized, I'm like, I think that's why everyone's excited. It's because it's something we've all been doing for years and they've been watching for years, and WWE finally got it. You know, it's just like, yeah. What WWE was great at, they were great at, but you know, product evolves, you know, people evolve, things evolve. And so it's nice to see that the WWE is finally catching up with the wrestling times. Unfortunately for me, it was just, you know, 5 years too late. So I'm just like, damn it. Like, come on. Great matches with Kevin and Generico, you know, and it's kind of frustrating, to go like, dude, if this happened 5 years ago, like, you know, like it would have been pretty cool, but, it's okay. Like, I'm pretty happy drawing comics and it hurts less on Mondays when I wake up. So
That's a valid point. I was going to say, did you ever think, maybe, just maybe, you know, give it another try just to see?
No, you know what? I've as much as it's frustrating to see, I don't think I would ever go back. I actually went to, POG, was it 10? I went to 10, 10th anniversary of PWG, and I went there because fans were messaging me. They're like, dude, it's the 10th anniversary. You gotta show up. You gotta show up. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I think I should go up for this. So I went to 10 and it was cool. They actually had a little spot for me in the beginning match. And that was nice. Nice of the boys in the first match to include me. It was pretty cool. I was there for the rest of the show. I was actually promoting my comic book as well. And, I was watching the show. And the talent that they have on that roster is insane. Like, it's just on a completely different level. I'm like, that guy is like, you know, it was like, there's a huge dude. I can't remember his name. So it was some years back, but he was like defying gravity. I was like, it's like more so than, I mean, Pac, like Pac does things in the air that like I've never seen before, but this guy looked like he was like supposed to land, but then he just wasn't landing. I was like, how is this dude doing this? So. Watching guys like that, and recently had a chance to watch the Bucks, and the Bucks were good when I was working, and they're really good when I was working, and I watched them on a show in San Diego, and they were on a completely different level, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm So I'll just leave. You know, I'll still have fans this day say, hey, I'm watching some old PWG DVDs and you're tearing it up and this and that. And like, oh man, you should come back. And I'll just leave that there. You know what I mean? So like, If they're watching DVDs from, you know, 2007 and 2010, it's the wrestling is of that time. And, you know, maybe my wrestling was pretty amazing in 2009, 2010, but, I would be wrestling a 2009, 2010 style in 2015. So that's not going to work.
No. And it's always hard to catch up, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, It's easier if you're in it and you're keeping up with the times. But if you're gone for a while and then you come back, you have to kind of relearn everything, and it can be tricky at best sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. A lot of the stuff is still ingrained in me. You know, I did it for 10 years. So a lot of the stuff is just a natural thing, you know, like with pro wrestling, it's like just a natural thing to do certain, like if you've done it for so long, it's natural to do certain things over again, like riding a bike, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is a learning curve, you know, like you, it's like, okay, like you were saying, you know, it's like, you got to catch up. And the only thing caught up with me is age. It's like, no, thanks. Like my right knee is finally starting to work normal again. So I'm,
So was it a difficult decision to walk away then, or, you know, was it hard then and then it's okay now? Or, I mean, did you have any kind of separation issues when it happened?
No, not necessarily. So when I started pro wrestling, my family was very against it. They weren't for that at all. And, you know, I would have to let them know, like, okay, well, you know, trust me, I'm going to go somewhere with this. And they're like, well, what if you don't? And I said, okay, well, at 30, I will stop wrestling. And at that time, I was like 19 or 20. Okay. And so, I mean, I guess that wasn't too terrible for them, because they're like, well, I guess he'll still have time to do something else. So they let me run with it. And I'm a man of my word, and I said I would stop at 30. So I knew I was going to stop regardless. Well, you know, if you know, I was somewhere else, if I was, you know, living financially off of pro wrestling, then I would have kept doing it. Or if I was on the route to go somewhere with it. And at that point, PWG wasn't totally the it spot. We had started getting some celebrities there, but by 2008, it started becoming work. And so, you know, I was 8 years in and I was like, this isn't fun anymore. And that's a problem. You know, it's just like when pro wrestling stops becoming fun for me, it became an issue. It's like, you know what? I'm not going anywhere with this necessarily. You know, it's great where I am right now, but it's not fun. Like, I'm kind of missing hanging out in San Diego with my friends and this and that. And I was like, you know what? I'll stick it out. So like eight and a half years. It was like the middle of 2008. And, I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick it out. I can do it. And then in 2009, it got fun again, just out of nowhere. Like 6 months later, I knew it was a farewell tour. And so I kind of stopped caring about having the best match on the card, trying to have the best match on the card. And I was like, I want to have the best match for me. What match do I want to do? What sounds like fun? So I just started having fun with my matches. And it became a thing with me. Like, everybody knew, like, I didn't want to do hold to hold anymore. I was kind of over it. I was like, you know, I was like, oh, like, that's such, we have to establish this hold to hold and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to do it. I was like, hey, can I just jump start the match? And so, like, the thing with me became jump starting the match. Like, my matches began with me leg lariating someone in the face. Like, it was like, as soon as the announcer announced me, I would run over and kick the guy in the face. And then, like, that was how I started matches off for the last year of my career. And it just became fun again. And I was having a blast during my matches. And it was interesting when they announced my retirement match. Fans were posting on the boards. I was just really getting into his matches. You know, I've actually haven't been a huge fan of him over the years, but this last year I've been really getting into his matches, and it sucks that he's retiring. And I think that was a reflection of me having fun in the match and fans realizing that.
Oh, well, it's good that they realize that, and it's good that they now can go back and watch it and enjoy it and maybe get the same enjoyment that you had doing it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so. I want to say the last year of my career was probably the best year of my career. That and my tag matches with Chris Bosch, like, those were really fun. Those were really the high points of my career were those things. And going to Japan and doing the Euro trip with PWG was really cool. So, like, those are the things in pro wrestling that definitely stick out in my mind and that, you know, I'll miss. And I always miss the crowd. I love the crowd. The crowd's great. And, you know, you kind of feed off them when you're out there, and the cheers and the boos and whatever, the highs and the lows. I miss that stuff.
I was going to say, it's always fun to be in the crowd and just enjoy the moment in the crowd.
Yeah.
At least for me when I go to a show, because it's like, you can just go there and be crazy and everybody's crazy with you and it's great.
Yeah, I could see that. For me, it's a little different because I spent most of the time inside. So
right.
When I'm actually in the crowd, I get jealous when I hear other guys get cheers. I'm like, oh man, like, I miss it. You know, you miss it. It's just like, yeah.
So do you have a favorite story from your travels in wrestling, or are they all kind of your favorite?
Favorite story? I have some memorable stories.
Well, that'll work. We'll take memorable.
Well, okay. So we'll go back to, you know, anyone listening to this, they'll find it more interesting since they're very relevant. So the first time I met Kevin and Generico, or Sami Zayn, feels weird saying Sami Zayn, just like,
you can call
Generico.
If you want to call him Generico, that's fine.
So the first time I met those guys, we brought him into PWG and we were having dinner. We got to talk a little bit before the show, but we always have dinner at Denny's afterwards. And we would sit there and BS for what felt like an hour because Denny's is crazy slow. And we were getting to know the guys. And right away, it just felt like we knew them forever. Like, we were friends forever. It was like, man, where have you guys been? Like, it feels like we've always hung out. And they, you know, they felt the same way. And something with Kevin, this became an inside joke between a few of us for years. And like, to this day, we'll still say it once in a while. It's like, we finally got our food and Kevin was talking to Generico. He got his food. He goes, hey, you want my pickle? And just like, that's like how he talked, you know? He kind of has that lumbery, voice, but it was inquisitive and it just sounded funny to a lot of the guys like at the table. And so for years, like, it just became a joke, like, you want my pickle? And it was just like, it's a running gag. I don't know. Yeah, I guess you have to be there, but yeah, it was always funny. Another story, we did the Euro trip. This is a terrible story. So my family, they warned me. They're like, hey, there are a lot of pickpockets over there. You better watch it. You know, you're going to get robbed. You're going to get mugged. They're paranoid. And I was like, I got this bag. Don't worry about it. And I had this bag. It's kind of like, you know, like a fanny pack.
Yeah.
But it's a fanny pack for your back or for your side. It's real tight and it, you know, it straps across the chest and it fit perfectly like under my jacket. So what I would do is I had my money, my wallet, my passports, my ID, my plane tickets, had everything in it. So we just had our show in Germany, and so I was loaded. Like, I sold a ton of merch and I was like almost sold out all my merchandise, and I always made sure to put that pack on my back under a hoodie and under a leather jacket, so if someone tried to pickpocket me, they wouldn't know where the money is, because who's going to look in the middle of someone's back and like under two jackets? Like, they'll never get it. And so I was always protecting it, and I'd always check. I'm like, yeah, it's still there. Yeah, it's still there. And except for one time, we decided to go to an internet cafe, and I was so excited to get on the internet. We hadn't been on in like a week or something, and took off my jackets, took off my bag. We were on the internet. It was time to leave. I turned around, and the pack was gone. So I lost everything. I lost.
No.
Yeah, I lost my passport. I lost my plane tickets. I think I had around $2,000 in cash, just all gone. And very strange how easy it is to get a new passport. You just have to bring another American with you to the embassy and just say, they have to just vouch that you are who you say you are, and they give you a temporary passport. And so that was kind of interesting. I was like, wow, that seemed way too easy. Like, like what if this American, I had his, you know, family hostage or something, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I'm blackmailing him. If you don't get me a passport, you know, they're in trouble. And so it just seemed way too easy. I was like, that's kind of scary how easy that was to get a new passport. Anyway, and so eventually we went to the airlines, and the airlines were telling me that they didn't have to give me a new plane ticket. Like, they didn't have to. They're like, no, well, you know, it's kind of your fault. And I was like, please. I'm like, I already paid for the flight. It's on there, you know, like, please, can you just reissue me the ticket? And they were just like, I think this was going on for like an hour. And then eventually the person was like, okay, you know what? Just, all right, I'm going to take care of it, you know? And so she hooked me up with a new ticket, and like, I was just like, thank you so much. And I was just like, so, so grateful. And like, I had to borrow some money from friends, and this was like second to last day there. And so I had to borrow money from friends until it was time to leave. And then we made it back home. And so that was probably the most memorable trip or experience I had in pro wrestling.
Not your favorite one, but definitely the most memorable.
No, not the favorite.
That's awful. I'm glad you got back.
Me too.
Because that would have been awkward. That would have been awkward. So after you walked away, what kind of made you decide to start the second shift series? I mean, was it, did you have it in your head that you were going to do it when you walk away, or was it kind of a divine intervention kind of thing, or how did it happen exactly?
So the second shift, like I said earlier, is a comic that I've been drawing since I was in the seventh grade. And when I started pro wrestling, drawing took a hiatus. Like, I've been drawing since I was five, and I've wanted to be a comic book artist since probably the fourth grade. Like the fifth grade. Yeah, I wanted to be a comic book artist. So much to the point that in the summer I would actually train myself. Like, okay, you're not allowed to go outside and play until you finish one full page of art. You have to finish one full page of art before you could go out and play. And so I would do it. And
right.
So I was kind of training myself, you know, since a young age to do that. Because I was like, well, you have to draw a comic book every month, so you have to draw one page a day. And so I hit my 20s, and I was pro wrestling, and 10 years absence, basically. I dabbled in it a little bit. Like, when I was around 24, 25, I started drawing again, and I started up the second shift in 2005. That's actually where I got the idea to do the story changed because it was more of my life. Like the beater van that's in the second shift, that's actually from my job at the time. I was part of this. I was a night manager at this really small baggage company in San Diego. They delivered lost luggage. Scott lost luggage. That was always the joke with my friends during the time. But so we deliver lost luggage and we had those beater vans. And those were we would drive to the airport, pick up lost luggage in those beater vans. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm going to have my character's going to have these really crappy jobs because I didn't like that job at all. It was terrible. And my character's going to have these really crappy job and they're going to have this beater van that they fight crime out of. And so that job actually was a huge inspiration to the second shift. And so, yeah. And then towards the end of my wrestling career, I stopped drawing again. And because I realized I wasn't a writer, I ended up drawing a full issue and realized that the story was so bad that I was like, this isn't good. So I ended up stopping again. And then in about 2008, you know, when I started feeling not so great about wrestling, another wrestler, Mr. Excitement, Ed or E. Bronson, that he pens under now, he became my writer. We actually started talking. We'd always talk, you know, we were friends through wrestling and we'd always BS. Like we're both Bruce Lee fans. We're both comic book fans. So we'd talk a lot about that stuff. And he was always getting me to read his scripts and they're always kind of like military related, which isn't my thing. So I go, oh, those are cool, man. Those are cool. And he always wanted me to draw the book for him. And if it's not interesting to me, I can't write it. And not that the script wasn't good, but military stuff it's not my interest. So right. I was like, hey, how about this? How about you write a script for me and I'll draw that, you know, like I want to work on my characters. And, he goes, okay, sure. And I had another friend, Bob Ramos, who's also in wrestling and he's a manager and he was also a writer. And I said, hey, how about both of you guys write me something? And so I can see, you know, who's good or who's good for the project. And, Bob ended up nailing the villain in the main story of the story arc. And, Ed completely nailed the heroes. Like they sounded like they were supposed to, they sounded like the characters in my head. And I was like, wow, those are their voices. Like he really got them. You know, I gave them each, you know, specifications on what their personalities are and everything. And Ed just killed it. And I was like, oh my God, like this is pretty amazing to read a story about my characters that I've never read before, you know, because I didn't write it. And we were off and running from there. So we started planting the seeds of doing the story. And so by 2010, I was really starting to put pages out and, you know, we were getting the project together. So that's how it all came back about.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love it when it kind of organically happens like that.
Yes. You know, like if it wasn't for wrestling, I would have never met Ed and, you know, and Bob and have my writers for today. So,
yeah. And on drawing the stuff you're not interested in, because I'm an artist as well. I've been telling people for that for years.
Oh, it's
tough. And nobody will listen to you. They're like, oh, we'll just do it anyway. It's like,
no.
No. You don't get it. Yeah. So
it's always tough when people want you to draw them something but they don't want to pay you and like, yeah. Wait, I pay you? It's like, yeah, like, but it doesn't cost you anything. I'm like, can you do it? Like it's a skill and it's time. And you know, the old saying, time is money. Time is worth more than money because time you can never get back. You can always make more money. So I always tell people that I'm like, my time is worth more than what you're trying to, you know, not pay me. So yep.
As I like to say, freelance isn't free.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So it's like, you can pay me now. Thanks. So yeah. completely feel you on that. So you've got the Kickstarter going. Where do you see the book going, obviously, beyond it being a huge and amazing success? I mean, would you like to maybe go on the con circuit and start doing the cons and working those? Or would you like to see it get picked up by Marvel or DC or one of the other companies? I mean, where would you like to see this go?
I would love to see it get picked up, but I would love to see it get picked up by a company like Image Comics. I'm, you know, growing up, I was a Marvel kid and later, you know, in my 20s, I became a DC kid. But as a teenager, I was an Image kid. And I was just like, oh, Image. I bought everything Image. I bought anything they came out with. I have comics that I bought just because it said Image on it. And like, I didn't even know who the creators were. And so I was kind of that crazy about Image Comics. Jim Lee's always been my favorite artist. And when I was younger, I really loved all of the Image guys a lot. You know, Rob Liefeld, Todd McFarlane, Eric Larson, all those guys, Mark Silvestri. And so I've always wanted to publish my book through them, for the, you know, nostalgia reasons, and on top of that, Image has become a huge success. I mean, it was back then, and then it took a dip because the comic market crashed but it's back, and the best part of it all, it's creator owned. You know, you get to keep the rights to your characters, and I wouldn't feel right giving up rights to characters that I've had around more than half of my life. So it just could feel wrong. So I'd really love it if I could get the book into a publishing house that would allow me to keep my rights. And as far as the con circuit goes, I would actually like to expand that. I'm working the San Diego or the California market. I've been doing conventions up in LA and down in San Diego. There's a couple down here, a really cool one. It's real small. So, if you are a diehard comic fan, it's just kind of cool to do because it's just a bunch of people that, it's not a huge amount of people, but it's San Diego Comic Fest. It's based out of San Diego and Mission Valley, and it's just at a hotel, and it just takes up a couple of ballrooms, and so it's pretty small, but everyone that goes there loves comics, and so they just, love to just get in there and talk to you, and they love to talk to creators and artists. And San Diego, shout out to the Headlocked guys, Mike Kingston. Mike always hooks me up with some time at his booth, which I greatly appreciate, and I do pinup work for him for Headlocked, and he's actually trying to get me to do a story, so time permitting, we'll see how that goes. And I work Long Beach Comic Con usually. I'm taking this year off because of the Kickstarter. Long Beach is coming up this weekend, but I'm just trying to focus on the Kickstarter, plus I don't really have any new product to bring to the show. Kamikaze, WonderCon, so I'm working all of those, but I would love to venture out to like C2E2 and just other conventions out there.
I just got back from Dragon Con, so
oh man, like how was that? I don't know too much about Dragon Con. Is it strictly cosplay? Because all I see from Dragon Con is cosplay.
No. It's cosplay, it's television, it's movies, it's comics, it's, they kind of do a conglomeration of everything.
Okay.
But yeah, they actually have a pretty big artist alley, and it's amazing to walk through it and see it. And I was geeking out, honestly, if you want to know the truth, because it was just to see all the amazing art and artists that were there, it was like, oh, this is perfect.
Is it in Atlanta?
Is in Atlanta, yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. I have a few people on Facebook, like Sky Pat Loika. He's pretty awesome. He's a podcaster. He goes to there, and he just takes mad photos of people in cosplay, and like everyone's like, they're doing like cover recreations and like battle poses, and so there's always tons of pictures he puts out, and they're really great. He's a great photographer. You should check him out. So he's always putting stuff out, and I always just thought it was a cosplay con because of him. So that's cool to know that there's another convention out there.
Yeah. So we'll have to look for you, see if you show up in Atlanta sometime.
Yeah. Is that where you're based out of?
That's where I'm based out of, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, yeah, so it was my first year going, so it was pretty exciting. So,
is it easy to get tickets and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, you can buy tickets online through them, and you can also buy them at the door, but it's real, it's like right central downtown, so you can hop on the train and take the train down to downtown, and it's very easy to get around, and it's all right there together. It's actually pretty nice.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, just have to be ready for lots of people. That's all.
Well, I am from San Diego, and we have San Diego Comic Con down here, so that's pretty insane. I'm so used to that. It's kind of, I get shocked every time I hear you could buy tickets at the door, because San Diego, it's like lottery to get tickets down here. Luckily, I've been registered as a professional like forever, so. I always get that, but yeah, it's like the lottery. So very cool that you can get tickets at the door.
Yeah, very cool. Well, Scott, I want to thank you so much for speaking with us today. It's been such a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. This has been great.
So everybody, as we've talked about, you can go help support the project by going to Kickstarter.com and searching for The Second Shift 2015, or you can find out more by the series by going to ScottLostComics.com. So Scott, best of luck. I know I'll be making a donation when I get paid next week.
Awesome. Thank you. Oh, and just for you, and for anyone else that are concerned with that, Kickstarter actually won't pull it out of your account until the Kickstarter is funded. So if you make a donation now and you're not getting paid for like a week or two, it actually won't pull out until the 31st, until the Kickstarter is over, and only if the project is funded. So that's one thing. It's over on the 31st, and that's it.
So it's an incentive to get it funded then.
Yes. So please check it out before the 31st.
Yes,
if you
make
check
the
it
donation.
Out on October 1st, it's too late.
Yeah, too late. Oh, no. So, well, Scott, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to talk to you today.
No, thank you. This was excellent.
And best of luck to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Once again, a huge thanks to Scott Loss for joining us tonight. Don't forget to check him out and his comic, The Second Shift, because I think we can all relate to working a job we hate only to do something we love. But on that note, I say we're done.
I would totally agree with you. We are done for the evening. Thanks again for everyone for listening to this awesome show we have put together for you this evening. Speaking of awesome shows, though, Lindsay, this Saturday, it's 400 episodes.
Five-hour show. Or yeah. We will mention a certain organ 200 times.
We have to pass the record of 203 times.
Oh, it's 203. Okay. The challenge is before me. Well, let's see if I can do it solo.
I am going to take you up on this. I'm going to let you say that thing 204 times by yourself.
Can I record it and just have it play on repeat?
No, that's cheating. She's thinking, how can I do this? How can I set this up? As she does. Anyway, Saturday Night Midnight-ish is episode 400 of CB Radio, your only excuse for going on Saturday night. Who's going to be there? Who the hell knows? It's CB Radio. It's weird, it's wacky, it's the unusual. Will we just call random people for the hell of it? Maybe. Who knows? It's what we do.
Are you calling Mr. Loesch?
We may.
She totally drunk dial Mr. Loesch. It's CB Radio 400. He has to be on.
He has to be on. The part-time plan needs to be on the show. So we'll see what we can do and get him on the show. Check it all out. CB Radio episode 400 this Saturday, midnight-ish. CB Radio Live, Twitter and Facebook and .com. Hashtag Blame Rob as well. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio. Tim Stein, Mason Omega will be previewing Night of Champions.
Ew.
Monday night we'll be back for the season premiere of the Raw Post Show, because it's the season premiere of Raw, so let's not have a season premiere of ourselves. Yeah.
Well, we did take last week off, this past week off, so we had our hiatus. Now we're back.
We took our 1 week off. We're back. There's going to be a season premiere of the Raw Post Show, which we'll probably exclusively be talking about Eagles and Falcons.
Go Falcons.
Go Eagles. Fly Eagles fly. Ha ha. But that's 11:10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern at rockradioshow.com, at Rock Radio Show on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, at Wild Talk Radio, at Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook. Get us on TuneIn for Wild Talk Radio Network, Stitcher and iTunes, Wild Talk Radio Network, or Rack Radio Show.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LANSWRND, and go to my website, siteboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward. Same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, pwmania.com, tnaasylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. So for Rock.
Hold on. I got more plugs. I forgot other plugs.
How many plugs do you have?
Well, these are the Rack Extras. I forgot the Rack Extras. You gotta check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4, Episode 10, which will be available this weekend. And coming probably tomorrow will be the Rack Extra Invading Dragon Con.
That's right. I invaded Dragon Con. Come listen to my tales of cosplay, corsets, and furries.
So now though, I forgot about the two Rack Extras. We have a lot of content.
We have a lot of content this week. Sorry. So yes, for Rock, I'm Lindsay. This has been The Rack. And we will see you next week for Night of Champions. Bye.
I'm about to get my. It's about that time. We don't care what the people say it. We don't care what they wanna do it. We don't care about it anymore. We do what we want. I ain't wasting no more time. It's now or never. I'm about to get mine.